Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm Terry Shanahan, a Northeast Regional Minister for the Conservative Congregational Christian Conference. I've gotten to know some of your leadership. I've met with your deacons and your pastoral search committee as you face this transition. And my wife and I, Carlotta, are so delighted to be with you in worship today. What a glorious time to celebrate a risen Savior. And I was going to call the authorities. You people are on fire today. This is awesome worship that we've had. Really appreciate it. So just pray with me as I get started. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we're just thankful that we're here to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, as we delve into your word this morning, we don't want that to become as words that just some men could conjure up or that I could piece together. But we need a word, Lord, directly from you today. We need a word that speaks directly to our hearts, one that transforms our lives. And we need that so badly, Lord, in this day and age and in our culture, in our communities, that people have no hope when all the hope is found in you. Lord, be with us today as you reveal your word to us in Jesus' name. Amen. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. He is risen. I heard a story of a minister who had he'd found a branch of a thorn tree. It was all twisted around, so it kind of resembled a crown of thorns. So he took it as a symbol of the crucifixion, and he placed it on the altar in the chapel on the Good Friday service. Early on the Easter morning, he remembered what he'd done, and feeling it might not be appropriate for Easter Sunday, he hurried in the church to clear it away before the congregation came that morning. But when he went into the church, he found the thorn of branches had blossomed with beautiful roses. Welcome to the celebration of Easter Day. The thorns of Good Friday have blossomed into the rose of resurrection. Christ the Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. And you know the account well. On Friday, Jesus was flogged and crucified until he was dead. They took his lifeless body from the cross and laid him in a borrowed tomb. Soldiers were ordered to stand guard outside that tomb, but on Sunday morning, the women who were closest to him came to the tomb to anoint his body with spices. But the stone was rolled away. Jesus was no longer there. And an angel told them that he had risen, as he said. Then the risen Christ began making a series of appearances to his followers, beginning with Mary Magdalene. Let's read that story from our scripture this morning. You'll find it in John 20, verses 1 through 18. It's going to be found on page 1153 of your pew Bibles. John 20, 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb, and both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter, and he reached the tomb first. And he bent over, and he looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. And he saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. And finally, the other disciple who had searched the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed, but they still didn't understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "Well, they've taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. And he asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" And thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord. Well, there's only one message on Easter Sunday, and when they asked me if I'd preach on Easter, I said, "Yeah, I have a theme in mind of the resurrection." Didn't have to pray about it, didn't give it a lot of thought. Preaching Easter. Going to be on the resurrection. There's only one message on Easter Sunday. That is, the tomb is empty and he is risen. And that fact is the foundation of our faith. Faith in Jesus' resurrection was universal from the very beginning. Through the ages, the celebration of Easter and worship has been the high point of the whole Christian year. The church declares in word and in sacrament that the Christ that was crucified, dead and buried, has been raised from the dead. He's exalted to sit at the right hand of the Father who is in heaven. Without this fact, we don't have a faith. What a joyous occasion. What a gift that we've been given. That because he lives, we can live eternally through Jesus Christ. Easter is a celebration that says Jesus is alive. He is risen. I have to submit to you, it's not just some nice Bible story that people recall. It's a fact. It's a fact because it's recorded that the tomb was empty. It's a fact because he appeared to so many over the next 40 days. It's a fact because historians like Josephus and other non-believers recorded in history that Jesus was resurrected. And it's a fact because we have experienced him. We have experienced the living God. He is alive, and because he lives, we live and will live forever. Amen. I absolutely love this time of year, in case you couldn't notice that. Our Christian churches are having extra services and having special celebrations. Last Sunday, Palm Sunday, was observed. Jesus rode into Jerusalem as the perfect, unblemished sacrifice given as payment for our sin. This past Thursday, communion was celebrated as the Passover meal that Jesus shared with his disciples. It became their Last Supper. And at that meal, Jesus proclaimed the new covenant in his blood. He would be the perfect sacrificial lamb slain that we might have eternal life. On Good Friday, sanctuaries across the nation were open for prayer and meditation as they contemplated Christ's suffering and the cost he paid on the cross for us. Now this morning we celebrate the empty tomb and his resurrection from the dead. Sometimes I'm afraid we think of Easter Sunday as a time when We just remember what Christ has done for us on the cross. And just a time to remember his resurrection. But every Easter Sunday, I am convicted that remembering is not what Easter is all about. And let me explain. Think about memory for just one moment. How many things do you actually remember from 20 years ago, or 15 years ago, or 10 years ago, or even in 2015? I can't remember what I did last week. So there's not many memories, I'm sure, that we can hold on to for a long time. Now think of how many things could possibly be remembered from as long ago as 2,000 years. Memories really don't serve us for that long, and memories don't serve us all that well. Today we're not here to just remember or commemorate a biblical story from the past. We're here to celebrate a risen Savior, Jesus Christ, who endured the cross and has survived the centuries to be a living presence here and now. The resurrection informs us that God's name is not I was. God's name is I am. At Jesus' tomb, men tried to write the end, but God wrote to be continued. And not just to be continued, but to be continued into eternity. What Jesus started continued not because of a memory, but because of a living presence in our lives today. He is risen. Today, he's risen. So praise God, we have a living presence in our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Be thankful, as believing Christians, we can celebrate Easter every day of our lives because we serve a risen Savior who lives. What meaning does this have for our everyday lives? I'd like to say that first of all, the empty tomb means that life does have meaning. Resurrection validates all that Christ taught us about God, because Jesus never once mentioned the cross without talking about the resurrection. You can look it up. It's in the book. The resurrection speaks to God being a loving God who always watches over his children. Whatsoever our need may be, God is always there. You see, you and I only have one real problem in the world, and that is our lack of faith. If we knew that God was with us in everything that happened to us, that everything we attempted, if we knew that there was nowhere we could go ever that he would not be with us, and if we were absolutely certain that he still moves mountains in the lives of those who trust him, we could face anything this world might send our way. Easter means that life has meaning. Secondly, Easter means that death has been defeated. Death has been defeated. There is eternal life promised for all who believe in God's Son. That is the very heart of the Easter message. Life has meaning. Death has been defeated. And a third implication of this Easter story is that we have a story to tell everyone. There are still too many people on this earth who don't know about Easter. There are too many people for whom life has no meaning. There's too many people for whom life has no hope. We read tragically every day in the papers and see it on the news, those who are lost. In fact, we're told that where we live in New England is the least churched place in the country. A very low percentage of the population in Massachusetts even goes to church on a given Sunday. And that's why it's important that we affirm our unity this day as the body of Christ. We are those people charged with the responsibility of telling the world that Christ lives. We can share the good news that life does have meaning. It's not hopeless out there. And that even death can't separate us from a God that loves us. It's my joyful privilege to say to you today that God's morning has come. God's Son, Jesus, is raised from the dead, and He lives. Above all, Easter says that if we believe in Christ and His resurrection, we'll never have to fear death, for we have eternal life with Him. Go and tell everyone you know the facts of Easter. Christ came, and He suffered, but He also conquered. He conquered it all. He conquered sin. He conquered suffering. He conquered death. Give thanks this Easter day, because God's morning has come. Now, there will always be those who will doubt His resurrection. That's not surprising. Such an amazing story. Some of these doubters will contend it's a hoax, and they have said that in the past. But I have to tell you that they're up against some pretty overwhelming evidence. Because there were more than 500 eyewitnesses to Christ's resurrection. And resurrection is not a hoax, but it is the most important truth on earth. We need not fear death ever again. Christ Jesus is risen from the dead. And we must tell this very important truth to everyone we know. And we have a tremendous advantage over those first followers of Jesus. Think about it. We've got God's written word revealing to us who Jesus is, why He came. We have the historical evidence proving the accuracy of what transpired. We have archaeological studies that further prove the biblical account. We have technology that can carry this information all around the globe. We have Bible-believing churches spreading the word. We have colleges and seminaries teaching God's truth. We have religious conferences and seminars available to everyone in this free country. We have every available means of recognizing who Jesus is and why He came. And we have such an advantage over those on that first Easter. But I want to submit to you that not much has changed from 2,000 years ago. People still don't recognize Jesus as the Messiah, the Holy One sent by God to die on a cross for our sins. They didn't recognize Him back then, and many don't recognize Him now. Jesus arrived in Jerusalem at the Feast of Passover, and they did not recognize Him as the sacrificial lamb, the Savior of their very souls. So think with me just for a moment about our religious celebrations on Christmas and Easter in this country and what goes on. At Christmas, it seems our society wants a God who's like a Santa Claus. He's going to give us stuff, provides for all our wants, brings ugly ties. At Easter, we want a God who's like an Easter bunny, bringing candy and new spring outfits, and purple hats. In many ways, people don't recognize Christ any better now than they did 2,000 years ago. So what do you say we change that? Let's change that. You people are on fire today. I can see you going out there just changing that in this community. Let's first change it in our hearts today. Because there's no better time to recognize who Jesus is than when we gather for worship like this. Because the worship we celebrate focuses on the Lamb of God that was slain for us. The cross signifies the sacrifice Jesus made for us. The giving of his life that we may live eternally with him. Let us change the fact that this is the least church area of the country. Let's all tell the world about the Jesus that we know. Let me bring this to a close for you today. People love it when I say that. It doesn't mean a lot. It could go on for quite a while. Just throw it out there. Get them thinking you're going to be towards the end. No, but seriously, let me bring this to a close by explaining why it's so important, why we grab the facts of Easter. Because this is not a story. It's not a remembrance. Easter is true. Easter is real. Easter is life. Easter is the foundation of our faith. Without the resurrection, we have no hope. We have no eternal life. So let me tell you why it's so important that we grasp this today. It was back in the mid-1970s. I went to an Easter service because of obligation. And I didn't go there to worship God. And I didn't go there because of any strong belief. I mean, everybody knows you have to go and pay your respects at least on Christmas and at Easter. They had a name for us. We were the Creasters. I used to be one of those. Christmas and Easter. But it was a duty. It was a duty. So I went in the mid-70s on this particular Easter Sunday, pay my dues, check it off. This particular Sunday, the minister preached on the facts of Easter, much like I did today. He said, we have eyewitnesses, we have historical accounts, we have archaeological digs, we have recorded scripture. It couldn't be a hoax. We have a living Savior. At the end of that sermon, I was convinced that the minister absolutely knew what he believed. I mean, there was no doubt, there was no wavering. He was 100% convicted that the gospel was true and Jesus was just who he said he was, a living Savior who died for our sins, was raised from the dead so we may have eternal life. I was convinced that he knew exactly what he believed. And I was equally convinced that I had no idea what I believed. And that began a journey for me to investigate the claims of the gospel, to investigate these claims of Christ. It led me to my own unwavering belief that Christ made a decision for me on the cross, and he wanted to adopt me into his forever family, where we're going to live together for eternity. And that led to a total transformation of my life. Well, there's more than likely someone here today, like me, Someone who came to church because it's Easter and, well, that's what you do, isn't it? You come on Easter. Could be someone here today that doesn't know what they believe, and that's okay, because we were all there at one time or another. So it's fine if you're here and out of obligation, you don't want to be, but please, please don't stay there. Look into the truth of Easter, because it's going to make a difference for you for eternity. And we absolutely believe that when the Word of God is preached, that lives are changed. Lives can be transformed. If you feel the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life today, don't let the sun go down today without speaking to a minister or a deacon, some other Christ follower. Start a journey to looking in to a faith that would give you eternal life. Don't put it off. We don't know what tomorrow holds. Let's pray. Living Lord, we are thankful that you are alive today. And we are thankful that no tomb could hold you. And we're thankful that because you live, no tomb can hold us either. Oh, death, where is thy victory? Where is thy sting? Lord, we're thankful that you are not just a remembrance, but your living presence in our lives. It's in your name we pray.